Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast for Harvey Norman, your cooling specialist, with all the leading brands and products to help you beat the heat this summer.
Mark Howard with you. Wayne Carey will join us shortly. Guests all over the place. Some people, they like Christmas Day. Some people like their birthdays. Some people even vote their number one day, their wedding day. But for mine, it is grand final day and it cannot be beaten. Expecting 30 degrees in Melbourne town today. We're down at Gate 5 at the MCG and have we got a lineup? For your listening pleasure over the next 3 hours. Andrew McLeod will be dropping by to join us to talk Norm Smith. He's presenting the medal today. Jake King will be in the house. Andrew Embley also won the Norm Smith medal with the West Coast Premiership team. Brad Sewell, two-time Premiership player from the Hawks. Joey Montagna, Jude Bolton, and the Duck will be here a little bit later on. And the Duck, well, extraordinarily has been pushed aside for the early start of the show by a man that used to dominate up at the Sydney Cricket Ground. He knows the big stage, and it's great to see him for the first time on the Dead Set Legends, Louis Dale Lewis.
G'day, Howie. G'day, Melbourne. Great to be here. Putting the band back together, those who remember the great show on Sunday mornings on Seven Sports World. Howie, behind the scenes, me out front of camera, how times have changed.
That's
Howie,
right.
You've come a long way.
Well, it was a long time ago. It's a magnificent day. It's wonderful to have you here. Louis, it's such a big, big day. We're going to get your grand final memories later on. It's a massive day for the Hawks, going for 3 in a row. And West Coast, well, they could get the job done. They've got a massive forward line.
Yeah, it is enormous. And the wind and the heat, what's it going to do to all players? Who's going to play sub for Hawthorn? Just heard there in the news, maybe Alistair Clarkson still thinking about Billy Hartung. I'll tell you what Billy Hartung will do, and he should lead the parade on this one. The sub has claimed one last final victim, and that's Billy. It compromised him over the last month. If he misses a grand final of it, he should lead the charge, grab all the vests, whether they be red and green, and burn those suckers in a massive bonfire and bear farewell to what has been the worst rule in AFL history.
Well, we've got a lot to get through, but you've got a theory.
Yes.
You've got a sign. You've been sent a sign about what's going to happen today.
Yeah, big on signs, a bit like in 96 when the Duck got up and about. That was a sign. Look, I hope I don't get duck-like behaviour sitting in his chair today either.
No one can pull up duck-like behaviour.
Right, I know you're a mad Hawthorn man. I know your kids and your family think this happens every year that Hawthorn are in a grand final.
They do.
I know you're nervous about hosting the family day tomorrow in case you lose.
Well, it'll be a flat day if they lose.
Well, rest easy, my good friend. I saw a sign in the grand final parade and it haunts me from my playing days in 96. We went into that parade very confident, having dismissed North Melbourne in about round 18 at Princes Park, as it was known back then, by 70 odd points. Thought we were a big show. Rocked up, it was a hot sunny day, parade day. We wore sunglasses thinking we're going to look after our eyes and our retinas. Well, Dennis Pagan took one look at us up there on the Treasury Building stage and said, have a look at these rock stars. They think they've won it. Wayne Swash passed on that information when he came to Sydney. He said that's one of the major motivating reasons they beat us that day, because they thought we had it in the bag.
Because of the sunnies. And yesterday?
Take you back to last year. Guess who wore sunnies in the parade? Sydney v Hawthorn. All the Sydney boys had sunglasses on. Again, I saw it on TV. I fell over, cried. We were going to lose from that point in time. So yesterday I watched with close interest how every time the cars come out, guess who's wearing sunglasses?
West Coast.
Prittis, Kennedy, Shuey.
Well, that's the type Wellingham. Of analysis
you want me
you
to
get.
Go on?
No, that's the type of analysis you get here.
You
on
know
the
what
Dead
makes
Set
it
Legends?
Worse? Adam Simpson, a member of that 96 Kangaroo Premiership side, is the coach of West Coast. Was there an instruction? Obviously not.
I'm taking my sunnies off right now. So much to get through in the show. Dale Lewis here. Duck will be here later on. Next, though, Louis is going to dissect the grand final footy style. This is Mark Howard, Dale Lewis, the Dead Set Legends. Come down and see us at Gate 5. There's a couple here, early doors. Nice to see them. Triple M. Our next guest. Well, he could do that and he could do more, Louis. Yep. He won two premierships with the Adelaide Crows and won the Norm Smith medal both times. He is presenting it this afternoon. That is a wonderful honour. And great to speak to this man on grand final day, Andrew McLeod. G'day, Andrew.
G'day, Mark. How are you going?
Yeah,
wouldn't mind coming down and test Jakey out, actually. What a footy.
Well, just having a look at the size of him, Andrew, I haven't seen you for a while. He's still looking pretty fearsome. He's got tattoos from head to toe, but you're quite welcome to come down. Hey, Andrew, in all seriousness, what a great honour it is today. You must have been really excited when you got the phone call to say, can you come down on grand final day and present this wonderful, wonderful medal, which you won a couple of times.
Yeah, great honour, Mark, is to be able to present it on the day. It's one of those humbling experiences that you sort of sit back and think, well, you know, it is a great honour, and looking forward to getting out there, and hopefully it's going to be a cracking game. So pretty excited, just like everybody else is.
Hey, Bunge, what are your memories of the first one and then the second one? Because many would say you're attached greedy back in the day, mate. So what are your memories of 97 and 98?
I was pretty pretty wet behind the ears still then, Louis. And, you know, it was obviously, you know, about creating a bit of history for the footy club still in its infancy. And just a lot of young blokes with a lot of enthusiasm, you know, mixed with a couple of old blokes that have been there in the past, you know, playing finals footy back in 93. So, yeah, look, it was just one of those things where we, you know, we were sort of, we just went out there and played footy. We, you know, didn't know really what to expect. We just played the game, and it's probably not a bad thing to go into a grand final either, you know, just going out and embracing it. And that was the message that Blighty had passed on to us young blokes, and that's what we did.
Andrew, is there one moment, and it must be difficult to isolate them, but from those two wonderful premierships, is there one moment that sticks out in your mind?
Oh, I think, you know, at half-time of both games, is, you know, we were fairly under the pump, and you know, those calming words from Blighty is, you know, probably ring true. You know, we're still in this game, and we just got to make the most of our opportunities. Was basically that. We got a bit more of a rocket in 98, and thanks to Duck for missing a few goals, you know, sort of helped us and left the door ajar. But yeah, and probably that is I remember at three-quarter time, Blighty sort of coming up to a couple of us and saying, "Have you got one more left?" And you know, as young blokes, we were pretty keen to, you know, to keep powering on.
Andrew, knowing the great Malcolm Blight a little bit, working at Channel 10, most of Blighty's stories, in fact all of Blighty's stories, come back to be about Blighty. Did he use himself as an example on grand final day or not?
Yeah, he sees himself in a lot of stories. I think he's that torpedo that he kicked, started off about 55, I think. Today it's about 95. So, you can't argue with Blighty. He's been there, he's done it all. So, and he's a, you know, like for us, he was such a great father figure for us back in the day too. And still today, you know, we catch up and yeah, the stories just tend to get longer.
Bunge, what do you like watching on the big day? You've been out there, you've been the best on it. How do you go? Do you get a bit toey in the lead-up to these?
I've been to one since then, Louis, and that was the drawn grand final. Oh. And it was pretty hard to get toey about that. But, it's probably one of the only days, I think, of the year that you, you know, as an ex-player, I think we all get a bit itchy feet, because it's that one day that, you know, you all strive. That's what you played footy for, is to play in a grand final. So, no doubt it'll be there, mate, but my biggest concern is making sure I don't fall off the stage today.
Frank Lowy style. Frank, yeah. Don't do that, Frank.
I'm tipping a bunch and bounce up a bit quicker.
Yeah, I think so. Andrew, as we let you go, just briefly, what does life entail now?
Oh, I actually work back at the footy club. I run my own Indigenous programs for Adelaide, so I've been doing that for a number of years now, and yeah, really enjoy my work.
Andrew, have a wonderful, wonderful day. Already looking forward to you going up there and presenting the medal. Thanks for having a chat with us on the Dead Set Legends.
Thanks, boys.
Just great to speak to these blokes. You have memories of him just dashing through the centre of the MCG, Louis, and lighting it up.
Yeah, I still want him to come down and take on Jake King one-on-one, and I like the idea there's no umpires.
No, well, Jake King will join us next. I can hear the Harley out the back of the MCG. He's not too far away, nor is the Duck. After 10 o'clock, Andrew Embley and Brad Sewell, and then Lee Montagna and Jude Bolton after 11. So much to get through. Mark Howard is with you alongside Dale Lewis. Jake King, join us next on the Dead Set Legends. Come and see us on Gate 5. We're here, Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman. Nice crowd in the house too, down by Gate 5. Come and see us. Mark Howard, Dale Lewis beside me. Wayne Carey not too far away. But before we bring the big king, it's time to introduce the little king. And I say that with the greatest possible respect. He's here. He's ready to go. Jake King, hello, brother.
Hello, Howie. Lou, it's good to be here.
Wonderful to see you.
Yes, push up.
Gee, that's a fair gold chain you've got around your wrist too there, Kingy, isn't it?
Fell off the back of a truck. Can't afford something like that.
That doesn't surprise me. Hey, I came down here today.
That looks like a weapon.
And I got so excited, and I was saying to you boys, you know, it's grand final. Yep. I'm so excited. I can't wait to sit in there in the Bowery and watch it. Yep. And it surprised me, both of you, pretty flat on the whole affair.
Yeah, well, guess. We haven't won one. It's pretty straightforward, Howie. It's not a great day for those who've tried to win one and then come along and you watch other people, and as you get to middle age, you have a lot of regrets and you get angry and you get nasty and you take it in on little blokes. who have a lot of lip and have barracked for a very successful team and have won, what, have you been to 7 out of 8 or something recently?
Well, I've seen 7 wins and 1 loss.
There
but
you go.
It's not about me. This is about you, blokes. But in all seriousness, Kingy, you said you can't even watch the last few minutes of a grand final.
Nah, it absolutely does my head in. I can be pretty nasty sometimes. I get to the point where I hope that blokes end up clashing into one another and have some form of concussion so they don't remember it. That's how nasty I start getting. I don't like it at all because I've never been there. I will never be there. I've never had the chance to feel it, touch it, any of it. So, yeah. Don't make me too happy at all.
But what about when one of your former teammates, one of your great former teammates, say from Richmond, someone like Mitch Morton, when he bobs up and comes in late in the season?
I'm just going to stand back for a minute.
Premiership for the Sydney Swans. Filled you with joy.
So when he gets the arse from us, and then he goes to Sydney and doesn't play all year, and then they say, here we go, have play one game before finals time, kicks a couple of goals, then they can't get him out of the team because he's performing and walks away with a medallion around his neck. I'm happy for Mitch.
And then got the chop after that. Yeah,
and then straight after that, see you later, council worker, stop and slow sign.
I always knew you were that kind of guy, Kingy, who was just happy to see others doing really, really well.
This is a man that came in and said, Howie, I can't watch the last 5 minutes. The last 5 minutes of the grand final, you use the word disgusts me.
Yeah, it does. Because especially when it's not tight. You sit there and reflect that you lost and you didn't get it, and there's individuals out there that, whether they deserve it or not, are getting something that you wanted. So I go into a very dark space, and I can be sitting. I've been in the outer at times here, and someone would ask me for a beer. I don't even hear them. And you know me, that normally doesn't happen.
No.
So I feel really flat, and it takes me about 15, 20 minutes after it, and when I've got to sit through them going up and getting all the names, I'm a bit narky. And then after that, I can start slowly to come out of it and sort of be happy for the team that won and happy for the boys that, achieved.
We don't exactly dislike the blokes who are actually playing the game. We don't dislike them or wish bad things. Like if I was in that position,
You just said you wanted to see blokes get concussed.
Yeah, that's so they don't remember it.
They've
still got the medallion, but they're not bad people. Maybe I should start blaming the coaches for not drafting me or something.
No, the other one too, a lot of people need to understand, you've got to get lucky. There is a lot of luck as an individual. Yes, you create it and you create great cultures, and Hodgie and the boys and Mitch have done that, and Clarko. But geez, there's a fair amount of luck these days where you can't pick where you go, basically, even though free agency's in, but you just end up where you're at and you make your best. And sometimes you get unlucky and you go through periods at clubs where you're in that flat spot. Not your fault. You try your best to get out of it. If you were 4 or 5 years later, maybe down at Geelong, maybe at Brisbane, either side of that. You know, the extremes are still there. You know, and for us, you know, I went back-to-back-to-back wooden spoons, and that hasn't been achieved a lot, people. And I don't think it gets recognised enough in the wider community. But we got out of that, luckily, and were able to experience the other side and almost got it in 96. So sometimes you think, when am I ever going to play in it? And you do get awfully bitter when you come down and watch it because you're just so jealous.
Is this something that's going to leave you at some stage, Kingy, or is this with you for the rest of your life?
No, it's with me forever, hell. With me forever. I can sit here and say that I wouldn't have changed anything for the world, stayed at Richmond, finished in the bottom 8 for the first 8 years, played in one final. I wouldn't swap that for a flag. That's just stupid.
Yeah,
why would I fly that away for a flag?
The symmetry of finishing 9th. I mean, it's a great story. It's awesome.
There's a song out of it now. There's a song that everyone's singing. I wouldn't change it.
Kingy, I think you need to stick around because you and Wayne Carey had a big debate during the year about a certain competition, physical style, that was meant to be happening right here today. We need to discuss this next. This is Mark Howard. Now, I'm loving Grand Final Day, but I've got two very bitter men beside me, Jake King. Dead Set Legends. Just angry men on Triple M. The crowd is building here, expecting a top of 31 degrees. The duck is not too far away, I know, because I can smell him. The aftershave, he must be within 300 metres. Dale Lewis is beside me, and to the left of me is a little superstar from the Richmond Football Club, Jake King. Kingy, wonderful to see you here. We were just having a little bit of a chat. An extraordinary statement was made during the year on Dead Set Legends that people here might not be aware of. There was a challenge issued. Let's just have a bit of a listen to what Duck had to say.
Give me until Grand Final Day, Dead Set Legends, Grand Final Day.
Yep.
I will take on Jakey, the Half Push-Up King, at Push-Up.
Half Push-Up King, you're here, and I can't see the big king.
Well, I think that's why all this frustration and anger's built up, Howie. So it's not so much about the Grand Final not being here. I I've been working my ass off for the last 5-6 weeks in the gym, going at it flat out, getting all pumped up, hearing Duck getting all lippy, and I rock up and he's not here.
No, yeah. He's not here, and he was running scared, but he did say to me to tell you that he doesn't rate the way you do push-ups, because I told him about that. You rang me the other day. Yep. How many push-ups did you say you'd done in a minute?
I did 110 in a minute.
110 push-ups in a minute. Now, some would say that's physically impossible, and Duck was one of those.
Yeah, I wouldn't be stupid enough to do that.
No, I wouldn't say that. Duck said that, not me.
Well, the one thing, I was trying to think up a word of how to sum all of this up, and what do I say about the Duck? And let's be honest, probably 2/3 of my vocabulary I can't say on radio, right? So,
and it's a limited vocabulary at the best of times anyway.
It is. So out of about 10 words, I've come up with the one coward.
Oh, hello.
Well, we'll play that.
Can you please let him know? Because obviously he's not going to be here while I'm here. He's not going to rock up. I can guarantee it'll be a couple of minutes after I leave, and then he'll have his chest out, pumped up, saying, oh, I was doing something else. Or,
that's it.
Oh, he's...
Could he be getting strapped? Because he played with the strapped shoulders, even though he didn't need them. It was just for sponsorship dollars back in the day. Maybe he's just getting strapped up to get another photo op, so when Kingy comes out, he's actually ready to rock and roll.
Or maybe I told him, Jake, you'd done 110 in a minute, and he gave it away, the big fella. Hey, Kingy, a massive game coming your way. You said to me in the ad break, who are you going to play on Cyril? You know I like Cyril. Who does the job on Cyril Rioli today? He's a man. He might get 15 touches today, but he's so explosive on grand final day.
Yeah, I think you got to put Sherrod Wellingham on him. I was thinking, if you lock him down, you're wasting one of... the West Coast players, because to lock someone down and he doesn't get the job, all he needs to do is get probably a dozen possessions to turn the game around. So Sherrod's in great form at the moment. You'd throw him on him, but also offensively, Wellingham's getting West Coast ball movement up and running, and that running and carrying that he's doing, the pressure that he's putting on, I think it could be a game break. I think if Wellingham does the job properly, he could really turn this.
Yeah, and I think they'll play just whoever's there as well. They like to be wherever the footy is. If he's out the back, he's out the back. Yep. And they'll back their system in of just getting numbers back to the footy. Hearn will spend some time on him with bigger bodies. They'll look to just work him up the deck, like you said. But their greatest strength is making sure it doesn't get out the back. Adelaide were able to do it, and that's what cut them apart. But if they work to their structures, put enough pressure on, Cyril's going to get limited opportunity. And they don't care who gets him as long as somebody's near him.
Can either of you two gentlemen explain to me? I watched that first final over in Perth, and Hawthorn couldn't play their uncontested game all night. They were going down the line. It was like watching footy from the 1990s. And then within the first 30 seconds against Adelaide, the very next week here at the MCG, they lost the ball out of the middle. It went to Gibson, I think, at halfback. He had a spare man on the wing. There was a spare man on the half forward line, and Bruce ended up with a shot at goal. How can a game change so very quickly? And I saw that first minute against Adelaide, and I thought, the Hawks are good here.
It's the heat factor, and that's not temperature-wise. It's the pressure they bring. West Coast, the best at closing down time and space, as are Hawthorn. Hawthorn are really good at it. And the perceived pressure that comes on in a final is extra. All of a sudden, the Hawks would have just felt uncomfortable. They would have thought, gee, we don't have much time over the footy today. We normally have the time to sit, turn, twist, kick 20 metres. They closed off the options. And what they do with their web, if you call it that, they're that far up in your face, there's nothing sideways. So the only option is to get long, deep out of line, start again. If we want to take that kick, that is really risky. And the only way you beat it is you've got to pull the trigger straight away. Again, Adelaide did it when they beat them by 50-odd points over there, kicked 8 in the first quarter. It was instinctive. We won the footy, they did. 45-metre kick, flick it around with hands. All of a sudden, this zone defence was scampering, looking for blokes. Eddie Betts and Tex were out the back. The speed beats it, but if you don't go straight away and let them squeeze up, there's nothing on. That's why they were kicking down the line.
Absolutely spot on. We at Richmond, we were calling it a bubble. 80-metre bubble. The game is played within 80 metres of the ground. Now, the drama with that is if you put that zone on, as Lou just said, then if you move that ball quickly and you get it within 30 metres inside that bubble, and we said it's an 80-metre bubble, all of a sudden, 50 metres of players are all stuck together. That's where you can actually run out the back, get goosey goals. The other thing what West Coast did really well against Hawthorn was they took their kick leg. Hawthorn liked to move the ball on very quickly and very predictable. So each left footer gets the ball, reels around onto their left foot. Each right footer gets the ball, wheels around onto their right foot. They don't use their opposite legs when taking a mark or a free kick or anything. Mm-hmm. So if you get on their kick leg, you take away plan A, while plan B is long down the line and it interferes with their game style.
It's just expert analysis. That's what you get here on the Dead Set Legends. Kingy, fantastic to have you here. There's a big crowd come. Can you maybe, in the break, if you whip down here in the next minute, can you maybe knock out some push-up scores in the break?
Of course.
Yeah, we'll show you how doing that next.
Let's get them and put them on Twitter and everything else, we'll see how many he did.
We'll see how many you can do in a minute. So much to come. And there's a nice crowd in the house now, and Eagles fans will be very happy to see this man, a premiership player from that football club, a Norm Smith medalist, who's got a cookbook out, which we need to discuss at some stage very, very soon. Andrew Embley. Embers, great to see you on the Dead Set Legends. How are you?
G'day, fellas. How are you, Daly? Going really well, actually. Obviously, a really exciting day for the Hawthorn West Coast Eagles Football Club. Melbourne has just turned on an absolute cracker, so let's hope we get a good game of footy.
Well, that's what we do here, Embers. Now, there's so much positive stuff to talk about. Let's get the one negative out of the way right off the top.
Yeah,
I'm sure you've had to speak about it this week. The Daniel Chick article, you're heavily involved at that footy club, mate. You wake up, you open the paper, you read it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I got a call from Daniel Kerr, actually, on the way to the airport on I think it was Wednesday night, and said that Chicky had spoken to the Herald Sun, and by the time I basically had arrived in Melbourne, was the front page of the Herald Sun. Listen, I mean, disappointed, and the timing offered, I certainly question, but in saying that, that's Daniel's views, and he's entitled to that. I certainly saw things a little bit differently. In saying that, we do identify that our football club had some issues through the mid-2000s, and we take responsibility for that. We put our hands up, but we also did an enormous amount of work as a group to improve that culture, and through the leadership of John Worsfold and with everyone being on the same page, we worked our butts off to improve that brand that had been tarnished, and it was a credit to everyone involved, and I believe that our football club now is in a wonderful position, not just on the field but off the field as well.
Embers, a lot of people, punters in particular, saying, oh, the premiership's tainted. And now I think that's really unfair just because of the potential behaviour of a chosen few. Nothing's ever been proved in the sense that what they've alleged to have taken actually helps you play better. So that mustn't sit very well with you.
Yeah, it's disappointing because I spent half my life at the West Coast Eagles Football Club, and it's my family. And when I hear people, you know, talking about that football club in that way, it really does sort of hurt me, because when I reflect about my years at the West Coast Eagles, it was an organisation that just helped people. In my first two or three years, I had a few issues myself, drinking a couple of beers, and the club could have easily got rid of me, but they stuck by me and they supported me, and they do that, you know, for everyone. Obviously, some people don't think they get that support, but majority of the people get supported by the football club. That's what football clubs do. They embrace you. They are a family. And, you know, when I walk back to that football club all the time, you know, my children always want to go in there and have a kick, whether it's on the oval or meeting a couple of guys, whether it's just meeting the girls behind the desk to, you know, get lollies fed to them. The impact that it's had, not just on me, but my family as well, is really important.
You can see the passion you're talking about the footy club. This is not an intrusive question, just because I love watching the man play. Do you have any contact with Cuzzy? Is Cuzzy going okay? You just love watching the man play footy.
We do.
Is he all right?
Yeah, listen, I haven't spoken to Cuzzy for probably about a year. Fair to say, he's probably gone a bit recluse in recent times. Hasn't had much contact with any of his former teammates, which is a little bit sad. But again, he was a player that had an enormous impact at our football club, and Brownlow medalist, premiership player, All-Australian, Brownlow.
Okay.
Let's just hope that he can get his life back on track.
Yeah, right, Embers, let's talk about today. Fantastic opportunity for your club, these boys, to join you in that elite club of the premiership. Can they do it? Is the heat a factor? Did you bring it over personally for everyone to enjoy? You love your weather over in Perth. Can they do it?
Oh, listen, they can do it. You know, when you break the game down, so I think what's going to be really important for the West Coast Eagles today is a few things. Offensively, contested football and clearances. It's been an area where the Eagles have been really good all year. The Eagles this year are ranked one in the competition at scoring when the ball goes inside their forward 50. So, again, supply will be really important. They get enough football in that forward line, then I expect the potency of the Eagles' forward line to be able to make the most of those opportunities. Defensively will be really important too. We know how Hawthorn like to play. They like to maintain possession of the football. That pressure is going to be super, super critical. We saw it a couple of weeks ago, that pressure forcing Hawthorn into the turnover, and then counter-attack footy is just gold. And the Eagles can slice you up through there. I think that's going to be a really important part of today's game. There's a term that a few football clubs use, which is known as return of serve. So essentially what that is when the opposition win the clearance, and from that clearance you turn the football over and then you just go bang down the other end and score. And the Eagles focus on this big time. So it's an area where they've been really good at this year. And again, that pressure on Hawthorn today will be super critical in getting that game going their way.
Possibly the most intelligent guest we've ever had on the Dead Set Legends.
I think I just made all that up.
No, and to be honest, Jake King was sitting in that chair only half an hour ago. To say you're the most intelligent guest we've had is an extraordinary statement. Now,
so Embers, does Embers do push-ups now?
Is that No. I think he just sort of walks the catwalk.
Have a look.
Can you stick around for one more segment, Embers?
Yes, mate,
because
I'm around,
need to speak about Cooking with Embers, the book that has revolutionised cookbooks, full stop.
What about Exploring His Passion?
Well, we'll talk about that next. Right. Exploring His Passion on the Dead Set Legends with Andrew Embley, Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howe, Dale Lewis, Wayne Carey, not too far away, just outside Gate 5. And we're just a great treat to have the great superstar from the West Coast Eagles who played 250 games in a premiership with them, Andrew Embley, still with us. Embers, you look at that lineup you had in your heyday at West Coast, and you had Cox in the middle alongside Cousins, Kerr, Judd, just an unbelievable footy team. You could pick one bloke from that footy team. One bloke, Embers.
Gee. One bloke.
Who is it? And that's probably the best midfield we've ever seen.
Yeah. It's like picking your favourite child.
Well, it is.
Do I have to pick a midfield?
You do, yeah. No, you can pick whoever you want.
Football clubs speak a lot about just playing your role for the team. So to give you an example, Darren Glass played his role for the side as good as anyone. In the AFL Grand Final in 2006, the West Coast Eagles win by a point. Glassy plays on Barry Hall. Keeps him goalless for the day.
Yep.
Barry Hall kicks 80 goals for that season. I think he even kicked 5 in the prelim.
Yep.
You know, playing your role for the team. So, and he did that as good as anyone. So I got a lot of time, obviously, for Darren Glass. But in regards to that midfield, I get asked the question a lot. And depending on the day, I change my answer all the time. But probably Ben Cousins, in regards to that gut running, was just one of the hardest working guys that you've ever seen. And to see him, Juddy, Curry, prepare and train on the training track, it was inspiring. And they set a level.
How do they do that?
They just work. They're just such competitive guys. So, yeah, whilst they went out and had a few beers on the weekends, etc., Monday morning they came and they trained hard and they set the example. And the rest of the group was their responsibility to go with them. And I think that's the reason why, as a group, we were such a successful group, because we just, you know, had that killer instinct in us to prepare and train as hard as we could.
Mate, it's almost 10 years since 06. What are your memories of Siren going, that moment, getting together, then when you get downstairs, just out of the public eye?
Look at him grinning. I know. He's got like a Cheshire cat
taking
him. It's a good
feeling. The game itself is a blur, and I don't really remember too much of it.
You're best on, mate. You should recall a few things in there.
I do remember vaguely the last quarter. Without doubt, it was probably the most mentally and physically draining game that I've ever been involved in. Like, the result just never really came into your mind. You're just so focused on the next contest and the next contest and the next contest after that. And we were very much a one-on-one team. And I do remember in the last quarter in particular, Woosh came up to me and said, mate, listen, Sean Dempster was going everywhere with me pretty tight. And he said, start on the wing, but then just go and play behind the football, because we know Dempster will come with you. Sydney forwards were getting really high, trying to create space for Barry Hall and Nick Davis. So he said, just another pair in there, just sit back, mate, and see if you can help out there. So I do remember, obviously, those sort of things. But when the sirens sound, it was just pure relief to me. Just, I've always viewed success on how you respond to failure and disappointment. So on the back of what happened in 2005, we had to improve, we had to get better, and to give ourselves another chance of playing in that grand final the following year, and this time winning it by a point, was just total, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, euphoria. Hey, is Leo Barry still barred from going to Western Australia?
Should be. No, it was a fair grab, wasn't it? I would have probably paid the free kick dash. Anyway, that's for another day.
Embers, not only are you a media star, do a lot of work in Waffle, you work in a business during the week, but you've sort of taken on MasterChef with a situation called Cooking with Embers, which you're a passionate man in the kitchen.
I love my cooking, always have. I come from a Burmese background, so my father's an Anglo-Burmese, and as a kid growing up, we used to go to my nana's house, we had these big banquets of curries, and probably at the time I didn't appreciate, you know, how authentic and how beautiful this food actually was. But when I got a little bit older, you know, I did. And so I'd spend some time with my nana and my aunties just sort of learning recipes, because I just love cooking as well. And from that, I guess it evolved. I was doing some work experience in some kitchens in Perth just in my spare time just to have fun and help create that balance as well between sort of playing football and doing other things. And from that, yeah, things sort of happened. I was involved with a restaurant with Dean Cox there for a while and started up this little cooking with Embers about 2 or 3 years ago. So I don't do too much with it, but essentially it's a sort of master chef team building sort of concept incorporating food and wine. So just sort of getting people in a nice relaxed atmosphere and a few challenges, having a bit of fun. And
what's your best dish? If Embers wanted to really impress someone, what's the number one thing he goes for?
Oh, I love things deep fried. So my twice cooked barramundi wings with Szechuan salt and pepper is just smoking.
What I was going to say, Embers, you can't be very good at it because all the great chefs are fat.
Yeah.
Clearly you don't eat enough of your product.
But you'd be surprised what's happening.
You said it was double fried as well. Yeah. Embers, thanks for having a chat with us.
Appreciate it,
guys. Your time. Yeah. Have a wonderful day. Mm. You're out at the Carlton Draft Front Bar out in Gate 3 a little bit later on, so you can go and see Andrew Embley.
Message for Howie, who's just a mad Hawthorn man, Embers.
Yes. Yeah, who's going to win?
Oh, let's hope the West Coast Eagles win. But if you know what, if Hawthorn win their third in a row, I mean, the legacy that will do to that football club will be enormous. No Hawthorn team has ever been able to do that. So let's just hope it's a wonderful contest. And I think the two best teams in the competition get to go at each other today.
He's not very confident. How are you in?
No. He's a superstar. Andrew, thanks for coming in and having a chat with us. Today, one of my favourite things, as well as the grand final sprint at halftime, is the retiring legends that parade around the MCG. Some of the names here today: Paul Chapman, three-time premiership player from the Geelong Footy Club; Dustin Fletcher, 400 games, two-time Brownlow medalist; Chris Judd; Chris Newman; Adam Schneider; Reece Shaw. But for all those names, I'm very happy to have this man on the phone because none's better than him. His name is Brad Sewell. He's won two premierships for the Hawks. He joins us now. Hello, Sewell.
How are you going?
Yeah, fantastic. How are you, mate? How are you going to feel when you jump in the car today? You've had probably a year to think about it, but it's a great moment. It's a great day, and your club will be out there probably an hour after you.
Yeah, it is. I'm really looking forward to it. And extremely lucky that actually Hawthorn are in the game, obviously playing today. So to see all of our fan supporters there, I'm actually hoping to see a few recognisable faces in the crowd, I guess.
Sully, how's your prep been? It's hot out there. You may need an ice vest on in the open back. And I don't know you well. I've admired you for a long time, but the high forehead might cop a hiding.
I'm going to be in trouble, aren't I? it's so warm out there, isn't it? It'd be interesting to see what, if any, effects it has on the game.
Yeah, it's really interesting point, Sully. I noticed Sam Mitchell talking about it during the week, saying your great fitness man, Jack Russell, has prepared you for a hot day for about the last 4 years coming into September. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I guess that preparation starts a month ago, knowing that there's a fair chance it's going to be warm, and obviously today it certainly is. So, I guess the steam room at the club, that plays a pretty important role in, it sounds funny, but the acclimatisation, I guess, for today, just spending more during that process, and then by extension during the week, spending more time in the steam room, just getting your body used to those warmer conditions.
Sully, your club is very big on your leaders standing up in big games, and they don't often let you down. Last year, you bounced Sydney out of the boat early on. Do we expect the same thing today?
Yeah, I think so. I think the start, obviously, always is critically important, but I think more so for West Coast today, they're a young, I guess, inexperienced side, and it's their first time in the grand final, I think, besides two players in Alice Wellingham. If Hawthorn jump them again today, it might be hard for them to call it back, I think.
Sully, it's such an emotional day, and you see it on the final siren. There's agony and ecstasy. It's a cliche, but that's what you get on grand final day. A couple of times you've stood on the top step there, you've lost a grand final, and then you had that strange emotion last year of not getting in the starting side and then going and celebrating with your mates on the ground after you missed it. What are your general emotions and thoughts about grand final day? Because you've been through the full spectrum, mate.
Yeah, I have. Again, this is a new experience because for the first time, you can actually sit back and enjoy the grand final and the week for what it actually is. Again, allow yourself to get swept up in the emotion and excitement, and the city just comes alive. It's phenomenal. And then, of course, the weather brings everybody out as well. So for the first time this year, I can actually soak it up and enjoy it. It's so starkly different when you're involved playing at that level.
Sully, Billy Hartung, he's in that situation. How's he feeling? What's going through his head? And will he be involved in the rooms with the warm-up, with the boys being a part of it all?
Yeah, he'll obviously be gutted, missing out. But importantly, his role for the day is he needs to prepare as though he's playing, because there's a slim chance, and it's only slim, that there's some sort of misfortune this morning or in warm-up. So he actually needs to somewhat be prepared in the event that something goes wrong and he might play. But, it's not a nice feeling. He'll be gutted at the moment.
Yeah, hold off on the hot dogs. Hey, Clarko had a great, really poignant point he made earlier, I think last week, that teams don't win premierships, squads do. You've been in that situation. Did you feel a part of last year's, even though you didn't play, you were a part of Hawthorn getting there, such a vibrant part of your footy club? Did you really feel a part of it, like Clarko suggests?
Yeah, you certainly feel a part of it, but you're obviously not a part of 22. So it's conflicting emotion again, because squads do win premierships, and guys throughout the year played critical roles that won't be out there playing today. So I think Hawthorn is probably the strongest, one of the first to recognise publicly as strong as they have. Clarko certainly mentioned that earlier in the week. Squads do win premierships, and that's appreciated within the broader club. But again, you're obviously not a part of 22, so again, mixed emotions.
A tough decision. Who starts sub today, Surely? I've heard the name Puopolo thrown around. Suckling. Who do you think?
I don't know. It's an interesting one. Generally, there's the smaller players and quicker guys that can come on and have an impact. So it might be Poppy, but his forward pressure is so good. If they go tall in the forward half, his pressure and zip around that forward half is critically important. So that's going to be really interesting. I don't know who's going to be sub.
And just as we let you go, Sully, I'm about to announce the first big story of Grand Final Day right now on the Dead Cell Legends. Obviously, I work at Channel 10. Yep. The Bachelor has been absolutely flying. Next year, from what I've been told, Brad Sewell is down to the last three to be the Bachelor on Network's 10-hit reality TV.
Congratulations, Sully, the Batch.
That
I love it.
Absolutely ludicrous. Both chance in hell.
Can't wait to see what sort of dates you take them on, Sully.
No,
you're an old romantic from way back, mate.
Sully, we appreciate your time. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, guys.
That was Brad Sewell. He's a superstar. In fact, he turned the role down because he didn't want to limit himself to just choosing between 16 girls.
I mean, that's a normal night out.
That's exactly right. So much to come on this show talking about abnormal nights out. The Duck, he can't be too far away.
Where am I getting subbed out or not?
Yes.
Good.
Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends from Harvey Norman. Holy Grail for the Hunters and Collectors, the old Channel 10 football theme song. Dale Lewis has been with me outside gate 5. He's been an unbelievable performer so far. Halfway through the third quarter, 26 disposals, 3 goals, 2. But he's just come to the bench, the number 3, and been given the red vest, Louis.
Yeah, I'm subbed out. And look, it's no shame on my behalf to be subbed out for Wayne Carey, the King. It means I beat him into the starting lineup.
That's
which
it.
Which is a great one for me to tell the kids. And I'm pretty happy to walk out now because I'm going for a couple of quiet ones.
That's it. And he doesn't look that comfortable in the green vest, but off it comes now as we welcome the King, number 18 from the Kangaroos. Wayne Carey is in the house.
Hey, Howie.
Hello, Ducky.
Thanks,
boy.
Thanks, Louis. Good to be here. What a glorious day, Howie. What a beautiful day. We've had so many beautiful Saturday mornings, none better than this. And I must admit, and Louis, you'd be the same, the only day you miss footy when you're an old has-been is today. It's just a great day to be involved, whether you're playing or not. Really looking forward to the start of the game.
Duck, we had Jake King and Louis on earlier on, and I was saying how great a day it is, and it was just vitriol from them. It was, we haven't won a premiership. This day makes us sick in the stomach. We can't watch the last 5 minutes. It was some really negative stuff you brought to the table, Louis.
Yeah, well, thanks to Wayne and his team.
Well, that's it.
Yeah,
that's
they
it.
Got us, and I'll tell you, I still remember Fridge Roberts just whooping it up out there. Very lippy late, so it wasn't kind. But I don't think Duck's ever forgiven me for when I tried to take him out in Sydney one night. I made him line up. I couldn't get him in. And we had to line up like the rest of the punters, first and only time in his career. So I think I apologise to that. Duck, haven't seen
it. Do you remember
since.
That, Ducko?
No, I don't.
No, funnily enough. All right, Louis, you've been fantastic. Well done to Dale Lewis. He's been on fire. So much to get through in the final hour of the show. Duck is going to tell us who's going to win and why. We'll also speak to Lee Montagna from the St Kilda Football Club and Jude Bolton as well. And as always, mate, it might be hot, it might be warm, but you smell delicious. Mark Howard, Wayne Carey, Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Oh, Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Harvey Norman. Now we're full outside gate 5. The King's beside me, Wayne Carey, sucking on the waters. Expected 30 degrees today. And just walking in, a nice round of applause for a Saints superstar, Joey Montagna, has joined us.
Thanks, everybody.
Hello, Joey, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, guys.
Hey, what type of emotions does Grand Final Day bring up for you? You've played in 3 Grand Finals. yet to have the ultimate success. I've got no doubt it's coming for you and the Saints, but what type of emotions does it stir up for you? We heard Louis, Dale Lewis and Jake King earlier on say they can't even watch the last 10 minutes of a grand final because they don't want to see a new group of Premiership players.
I do feel that way. I only sort of get envious when the team gets handed the Premiership Cup and all the players run. Otherwise, the lead up to the game, the lead up to the week, even the game itself, I love it because I'm a footy fan foremost, you know, and I love watching it and love the game. So I really enjoy it like everyone else. And it's only at the end when the players get the cup that I get a bit envious and turn it off and have another beer.
You got so close. Does a day go by where you don't think about what if?
Oh, certainly finals time, grand final week, you get more so than others. You see little clips and highlights of our close losses and the draw and those sorts of things. So when every time I see that, I get the little tingles. I certainly get goosebumps. Otherwise, now, while you're still playing, I think you're always looking forward. So you're probably still trying to search for the next one. It'll be more probably when I retire that you sit back and reflect a bit more.
Can you remember what your initial thought was when the siren sounded and it was a draw? I remember Nick Maxwell, straight away they grabbed him on, I think it was probably Network 7 at that stage. He said, oh, this is ridiculous. We need a winner. We need a winner today. We need it now.
My first thought was that, is there a chance they might make an extra time? I actually thought that. I thought this might be extra time. And then pretty quickly we knew that it was going to come back next week. It was a very numb feeling. It was weird. It wasn't sure what to think. I certainly agree. I think you have to change the rules and make it extra time. I mean, let's say hypothetically today it's a draw. What do West Coast do? Do they have to fly home and fly back 4 days later? That's a huge disadvantage. I think games need to be decided on the day because the following week we were mentally shot. We put all our energies into that game and we couldn't bounce back the following week.
I actually agree. Watching that game, I was in a box and it was the most hollow feeling I've ever had watching a game of footy. And you guys were coming too. I mean, I thought you would have run over the top of Collingwood.
Yeah, and even just talking about that then, I still get little tingles. Look, whether we would have or not, I mean, but imagine the siren goes, everyone knows there's 5 minutes each end, there's 10 minutes left, players are out on their feet, but it's just going to go down to the end. I think that would have been amazing, and hopefully that's, you know, I don't think teams would want to play in a draw again because it is a very bizarre, hollow feeling.
Well, that's the thing. All the other finals, I've actually played in a drawn final against the Hawthorn in 1994.
Went to extra time.
And we went the extra time, and you got a result.
I was there as a young bloke that day, hanging over the fence, just giving it to you because you beat the Hawks off your own boot in that extra time.
Thanks, Harry. No, he did.
He seriously.
No, I can actually.
I was a young bloke at Waverley. I was like, oh no, get on that Carey bloke. He tore us apart.
Yeah. So what are you thinking today, Joey? Are you on the favourite bandwagon, or do you like West Coast?
Well, look, all week I thought the Hawks, and I think the Hawks deserve to be favourites. But the more that I go on, the more I think West Coast are in this up to their eyeballs. I think certainly I heard you say. I think the weather is going to be a huge advantage to West Coast. And it's going to be Nick Nat. If he can dominate the clearances and West Coast get the ball in their forward half and they can lock it in and set up their, you know, their famous web or their defensive behind the ball, they'll put a lot of pressure on the Hawks. So it's going to come down to the clearances and I think West Coast will be right in it.
When the Saints take on the West Coast, what does the coaching panel have to say about Josh Kennedy? Who normally gets him and how do you attempt to stop him as a team?
He's a very difficult matchup, but he's more dangerous if West Coast can get ball coming through without much pressure because he does so well leading up at the footy. So to the key to stopping Josh Kennedy really is putting pressure on Pritis and Shuey and Masson and making them sort of kick it high, quick kick it, because if they can look down the field and lower their eyes, Josh Kennedy will dart up at the footy all day and he'll take 10 marks.
What about Sam Mitchell? A lot of talk. Do you tag him?
Yeah, no. I don't think West Coast will do a full-on lockdown tag because they haven't done it all year. You can't just change a game plan for one, but no doubt someone will pay more attention to him, and I think probably will be Hutchings. I think he did it in the first final, didn't he? And did a reasonable job, but I think certainly they'll just be, you know, playing him at stoppages and then just keep an eye on him, but they won't go away from their structure too much.
Sub for the Hawks. Duck thinks possibly Puopolo. Brad Sewell's on. He said, I've got no idea. He said, I want to play them all.
Yeah, I haven't thought about that. Probably either Showmakers or... Yeah, probably Popolo. Yeah, it sounds about right. You wouldn't make Showmakers a sub being a tall. You'd probably start him, and he probably seems a likely sub if he's not doing much.
There is talk there could be a late change today. Clarko's saying that... The interesting part of it, they dropped Hartung. It's obviously a hot day. They've gone with Showmakers, and everyone thought that Showmakers wouldn't get a game. By the way, I'm rapt that he is. He's missed out so often. So for him to get an opportunity, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. I agree.
He's done it the hard way, and I only found out today reading the paper that Adelaide had offered him a long-term contract. He said, no, I'm going to stay with the Hawks. So had some loyalty, stayed there, and he gets his opportunity today. So I think if someone goes out, it'll be maybe a tall. And there is talk, maybe Lake, maybe Hartung comes in. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens. Still a little bit to play out, Howie.
Hey, Joey, after this, you're heading down to the Carlton Draft Front Bar, which is outside Gate 3, yep. I believe. 6,000 litres of brewery, fresh Carlton Draft, brewed especially for today. Very, very cold. You get a a free Carlton draft and you'll have the chance to win last-minute seat upgrades inside the ground. The Carlton draft grand final front bar, the next best thing to being at the game. And you're going
bad, that's not a bad gig, Joey.
Yeah. Well, you say 6,000 litres of beer and duck's eyes just go like saucer plates. Hey, just as we let you go, you're watching the game with one of your great mates today in a bit of a privileged position.
Yeah, I've been invited up to the writer room, the big AFL lunch, the 300 Club, all the retirees, all any players that have played 300 games. So I'm going as Lenny Hayes' guest. I'm not quite there yet at 300 games, but go as Lenny's guest and should be a great afternoon with all the ex-players and, yeah, looking forward to hopefully a terrific contest.
Hey, Joey, great to see you, and I would like nothing better than to be here in a couple of years' time and you're playing in another grand final, mate, and have a win. Good on you, Joey.
Thanks, Harry. Thanks, guys.
Triple M's Dead Set Legend for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard, Wayne Carey. Big crowd gathered now. 30 degrees on grand final day. Hottest grand final for 30 years, Duck, and we're welcoming a man that likes it when it's hot.
Oh, sure does, because he is hot.
He is, my dear. And looking at the pants that Channel 7 have put him in, he must be doing some type of comedy at half-time.
Yeah.
Jude Bolton, welcome to the Dead Set Legends. How are you, brother?
I do have some arguments. Thank you, boys. I do have some arguments now and then with the Channel 7 wardrobe. I think they throw a lot at me. I think I'm a guinea pig a bit.
They do give you a lot of different colours, don't they? Although I'd like to get up today.
But Howie looks like he's just stepping onto a boat. That's right. Or the Portsea Polo. No, I don't know what he's doing.
It's nice that Howie's actually got shoes on today. It's normally thongs.
We're in public today. Let's not talk about what you're wearing. Now, Jude, grand final day for you. You've had some unbelievable memories here. What are your thoughts and memories? And just sort of take the people maybe into the rooms 5 minutes before you run out on this massive day, Judy.
Well, I guess that's the biggest memory. And I heard Duck speaking about it last night, but it's that energy in the rooms just as you're running out. And you go out the concrete cavern, the race at the MCG here, and you step onto the ground. People, before I'd played in a grand final, people used to say you walk on air. But honestly, The energy from 100,000 people screaming, I can still feel it filling my lungs in the 2012 grand final. It's unbelievable. And it just certainly, you just get out there and you just soak it up. And it is overwhelming for some guys. Other guys settle in and we've seen that on the big stage. Guys like Andrew McLeod just thrived on it, those sort of big stage moments.
It's the great unknown though, isn't it? Just before the bounce, that sort of 10, 15, 20 seconds, when you line up in your position, and the great unknown, whether you're going to play well as an individual, whether you're going to win or lose, all the self-doubt, there's anxiousness, there's excitement, all of that before the bounce, isn't it?
Oh, you're walking out to positions, and certainly in 2012, they actually bounce the ball. They do the countdown, obviously, now to bounce the ball. And I remember the umpires actually going, get out to your positions, I'm going to bounce it on zero. And it's counting down, and we weren't even in position hardly. And you're sort of just frantic, and the first five or ten minutes... is just the most chaotic and hard and pressure. It's awesome, and this is what you play for.
2012 against the Hawks, Nick Malcheski. He doesn't kick goals, Jude. He doesn't kick goals. He kicked two of the best goals ever seen on grand final day at the MCG.
Well, the first one just defied logic. That was actually into the breeze. I had four or five shots at goal at that end before the game and did not kick one of them, and they were going backwards, and he kicked one there. And then the last one was just obviously goes down in history. But your boys, the Hawkers, I think they're... they're going to be good things today.
History tells you, though, you go back to 2012. Hawks were favourite that day. You guys won. Hawks were underdogs last year. They won. I mean, just because you're favourites doesn't mean you're going to win. This game is right on a tightrope.
Absolutely. It's who settles well, who manages, you know, that expectation, but also delivers in those clutch moments. And you've got to be clean, you've got to be hard, but you've got to also stick to your structures. And I just credit to Adam Simpson the way he's got this team going. And they've had so many injuries and things thrown up along the way. But to deliver what he's delivered with a young group like that has just been fantastic.
Jude, we've had a couple of guests on already today. One was Brad Saw, and he's travelling around with the retirees at the MCG. I'm sure you've done it.
Junket.
Some of the names there. Carrazzo, Chapman, Corns, Dustin Fletcher, Chris Judd. It's his own decision, and I just love to see Adam Goods there. And I think it's the saddest story of the recent footy year, probably the last 6 or 8 weeks. Obviously, there's been some shocking stories this year, but to not see Goodsy out there today lapping it up, It just makes me a bit sad.
We got a sense of it, obviously, when he played played his last game, but you could just sort of sense, even when he was clapping off Reshaw, who was getting chaired off, and, you know, he just sort of wandered in behind, and I was sort of looking to see his reaction, and then we caught wind that he's obviously announced to the boys in the rooms, and I ducked down to say, you know, well done, and, you know, how proud I was to have a front row seat. To be honest, I pinch myself at times. But I could see even some of the other boys goes, they were looking at him going, we should have given us an opportunity to cheer you off because he deserves it. It's a sad thing that he's not going around there today, but he'll get memory, a big rousing report first round at the, at the SCG next year.
It's not really, I don't think it's sad. I think it's Adam Goodes' decision. He's played 400 games. He's, the attention's been on him so much that he probably, that's exactly what he wants to do. So it's a decision that he's made. That's where he feels comfortable. It sits well with him. And you say it's sad as us as football supporters. Well, at the end of the day, he's the guy that makes the choice.
It's only sad if Goodsy wasn't ever going to do it and he just wants to go into the sunset.
Well, we don't know that.
But that's what I'm saying. If he's been put in a situation with what's happened over the last couple of months that he could possibly feel uncomfortable here on Grand Final Day, I think it's a really sad thing.
That's sad, but we don't know that.
Are you of the feeling that like the mob have got to him in that sense? And are you letting them win?
Adam,
is that what you're feeling or not?
Far better than I. But I just can't... If someone booed Goodsy today when he was travelling around the convoy, just kick him out. I just think it's...
Well, it's a hypothetical because he's not doing it. And he's had a fantastic career. We'll celebrate that. The Swans will celebrate that. And I know better than anyone that once you retire, and Goodsy was an absolute champion, and I think it had more to do with that, and I've said that all along. I think the fact that he's a great player, and there's been a lot of little things that have added up to what occurred, but I think that you watch the football public and you watch Melburnians and even West Coast supporters in Fremantle, who are probably the most vocal, they will all support and they'll acknowledge Adam Goodes for being the champion he is.
I hope so.
And he has been, and it'll be, I'm sure we'll find out what Adam chooses to do. He'll probably go into politics or something, who knows, with Goodsy, but he'll be celebrated. Don't worry about that.
It is a special thing to do the lap. I got to do it, obviously, but after the Hawthorn and Fremantle Grand Final, and you sort of sit there going, how am I going to be received against, obviously opposition supporters? Just to see some of the Hawks fans and the Freo supporters at that stage, cheering, and you like, this is really special.
They don't give a stuff about you, Howie, when you're not playing against their team.
Absolutely.
That's it. All right, Jude, who wins? Briefly, why, and who wins at Norm Smith?
For me, I just feel Hawthorn. I think I'm tipping them by about 18 points. I just feel just that body hardened. I know they've done some travel and it is going to be hot. That's going to be the big contentious thing today. But I think they'll settle well and they'll jump off to the start. If West Coast are in it at three-quarter time, look out, because they will have the run in the legs and they'll have the confidence that they have settled against the Hawks. But I think the game might be already over around around three-quarter time.
We'll get smashed is what we're hearing from the crowd. And also, as we let you go, Jude, best of luck with your new film with Rodney Dangerfield coming out soon with those pants. All right, mate, have a great time on the Channel 7 coverage today. Jude Bolton,
cheers,
ladies and gentlemen.
Enjoy your final.
Mark Howard, Wayne Carey, the Dead Set Legends, thanks to Harvey Norman. Well, I think the entire crowd is down here at Gate 5 now. The King is getting ready. He's got all sorts of commitments today. Ducky boy, we've got about 3 minutes here to get some final thoughts on this game today. It's the Hawks versus the West Coast Eagles. You think the West Coast are a good thing if they're in it when it's late?
Oh, look, they're not a good thing, Howie. This game, it's going to be an absolute beauty. I do think, as I said earlier, I do think the weather will play a part. I think it'll be an absolute beauty. Clearly, West Coast have to put this great Hawthorn team, who have been absolute champions. We know they've gone back-to-back. If they're allowed to play their own game, Hawthorn win. As simple as that. If they're put under enough pressure, which I think the Eagles are capable of doing, under enough pressure, I think they're the one side in the competition that has the firepower to kick a winning score against this juggernaut of a team. I think it'll be really, really close. I think that'll come down to the wire, and I think West Coast will be just a little bit too strong. So my tip is West Coast. And I think it'll be a really close margin. 4 points, West Coast. I like Gaff for the Norm Smith medal. I think that he'll play on the wing. He'll get a bit of space. He'll get a lot of it. And I think it'll be an absolute beauty. So can't wait.
Before I let you walk out of here, there's one man we haven't discussed today, and he needs to be discussed. He operates with one name, and that's all he needs is Cyril.
Cyril!
We haven't spoken about the great man today, and I can still picture clearly him on Triple M Footy last year being right next to the bench, seeing him go to the bench when they had the job done. They gave him the red vest. He'd had that massive week. He played half the game in the VFL Grand Final. He broke down in tears. He was stunned in the rooms afterwards. What are we expecting from the little man who's had his best season? He's all Australian.
Oh, absolutely. Well, obviously a different preparation for Cyril this year. He just got up for the game, didn't he? So he'll be better prepared. He's an absolute superstar. I've said it this year. He's the best 10, 13 possession player that I've ever seen in the game. Doesn't need a lot of it. The pressure that he puts on is enormous. I reckon Nick Nat is a Cyril Rioli of ruckman. I've said it all year. He's very similar in that he doesn't need to get a lot of the ball, but his influence on the game is just as big as Cyril's. Really looking forward to those two players play. I mean, if you look all over the ground, they're superstars. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you know what? This will be an absolute beauty, and that's why I love coming to the footy. That's why I love what I do. Really looking forward to a great game. Hope everyone enjoys it, Howie. Good luck to you with Triple M on the boundary, and good luck to both teams.
That's it. The King, he's just wrapped up. He's done his own summation, and he said, I've had enough. I'm putting on my aftershave, and I'm walking out the door. Ladies and gentlemen, the King is done. Stick around, the boys from the Saturday Rub, not too far away. That was Wayne Carey. I'm Mark Howard on the Dead Set Legends outside Gate 5. What about the King? He just sort of walked off. Triple M. Massive crowd. Come and see us at Gate 5 at the MCG. A huge crowd in the house. We're about to give away a game day footy. The boys from the Saturday Rub are coming up in about 3 minutes' time in the quiz. The boys from the Saturday Rub, they're giving away $10,000 in Gary Lyon's famous quiz. So keep an eye out for that one. All right, we're about to give away a footy. All sorts of people in the house. Let's have a bit of a look here. What about this young man? What's your name, young man?
Jordan.
Jordan, who are you going for today, Geordie?
Hawks.
Why the Hawks?
Cause.
What would you do with a new footy? Not really positive. What's your name?
Charney.
Who are you going for?
Books.
What would you do with a new footy?
I don't know, kick it.
Kick it. We're not getting much imagination here. What about there? Oh, this young fella's got his hand in here. What's your name, young fella?
Flynn.
Flynn. Who are you going for today?
Hawks.
Who's going to stop Josh Kennedy?
Brian.
Brian, I like it. Why should I give you the new footy?
I'll kick it over the fence.
What was your name?
Flynn.
Flynn, nearly. Should we give it to Flynn or not? Should we give Flynn the footy? There you go, Flynn. A new footy for you. Well done to Flynn. Hey, guys, hope you've all enjoyed the show. It's been a pleasure. Massive game today. Not that you're interested, but my tip today, I think the Hawks might get home with a kick after the siren when Cyril kicks his sixth. Either way, I hope you have a wonderful day. The boys from the Saturday Rub, they're about to come up here. The biggest names in the business. Gary Lyon is in there. Damien Barrett, James Brayshaw is in there. Danny Frawley as well. 30 degrees today. Thanks for all coming out. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. We are set for the hottest grand final in 30 years. Hope you have a ripping day. Hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll be back next Saturday from Bathurst, of all places. I'm Mark Howard. He was Wayne Carey. Have a great grand final on the Dead Set Legends. Cheers, guys. Peace. Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast for Harvey Norman, your cooling specialist, with all the leading brands and products to help you beat the heat this summer.